Blog Talk Radio.
Rich Wilson, welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We were just here less than 24 hours ago, but a lot has happened in 24 hours as we had the infamous last day of the non-waiver trading deadline. It came and went at 4 o'clock today, and wow, was it ever crazy. And so I thought we'd do this quick little podcast, and as always, I'm going to be with my good friend, Mr. Tim McLeod. Timmy, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm exhausted, Rich. I took the day off, and I spent all day glued to my computer monitor, and it was pretty quiet, and then all of a sudden, I guess around 1 o'clock, everything started to break loose, and for about 4 hours, it was total insanity. Lots of players moving around. Nice to see.
Yeah, it was funny. I thought it was all over, and then when I got home from work, I looked, and Francisco Liriano got moved. I'm like, when did that happen? I looked at the timestamp, and it was like 5:30 or 6 o'clock, so I guess they kept that one pretty quiet.
Yeah, well, I think they wanted to probably keep Jays fans from revolting once they found out the purpose behind that deal, and that would be Aaron Sanchez going to the bullpen. And, you know, hey, Liriano's a nice last-minute get, but he's no Aaron Sanchez.
No, he's not, and we're going to talk about that, Tim. We're going to talk about, we're mostly going to be talking, how many trade deals do I have? Maybe 15 of them down here, and then a little analysis at the end. Hopefully you got the notes, Tim. I just sent them out a little while ago. But two things before we get started. First of all, the untrade where, and what's your perspective on this? Colin Ray comes over with Andrew Cashman, as we spoke about last night. He pitches 3 innings and goes out with what appears to be a very serious injury. And from what I can tell, I'm guessing Jeffrey Loria said, I don't want that guy. Give him back. I'm not going to pay for him to go through rehab. And he got untraded.
Well, yeah, he got untraded. How much do you know about Castillo, Rich?
I thought he was I mean, if you read my notes, Tim, from last night and what we thought, I thought Castillo was the better of the prospect. In fact, I said that last night. I said he was the guy that I thought would be the better dude. So I think the Marlins did okay by actually grabbing him back and sending back Colin Ray.
Yeah, well, I think the Marlins were counting on having that arm for the playoff run. And when they didn't get it, maybe they had reason to be a little bit upset, and San Diego was very accommodating.
So that meant San Diego must have known something was up, right? Because otherwise they wouldn't have, I think, so easily have given accepted Colin Ray back, right? I mean, we've commissioned a whole bunch of fantasy leagues. It's like that deal is done. It's done is done. But clearly they must have known something. Otherwise they said, look, you know, he hurt himself during that outing.
Well, yeah, either that or he's got some Canadian blood in him. Preller does. I don't know if that's the case. But, yeah, it was very generous of the Padres to make that move. And you're right, it calls into question. Maybe the arm was coming unhinged before he actually ended up there. But they must have done physicals, right?
I don't know. I mean, what happens with these deals here at the last minute. They still got to go through physicals and so forth. So some of these things might fall apart and and the first thing I want to talk about is the second point I want to bring up, and that's the first. I don't know why it's in this order, Tim. They're in no logical order. I think as they were going, I was typing as fast as I could. The Dodgers acquire Rich Hill. Yeah, and I might have got some of the names wrong, Tim. So if you see mistakes, just holler it out. The Dodgers acquire Rich Hill and Josh Reddick from the A's for right-handed pitcher Frankie Montas. He was brought over in that that Brett Lurie, no, it wasn't it was the Frazier trade, that three-way trade,
exactly.
Peraza and so forth. Minor leaguer right-hand pitcher Grant Holmes and a guy named Jarrell Cotton, who I've been talking about the Dodgers really like, and you might see him this year. So you might see him now in Oakland. But, Tim, when I saw this, I said, And then my second point is, does Rettich play over Yasiel Puig? And I think the answer is yes, because they're demoting Yasiel Puig tomorrow.
Yeah, apparently he had a little bit of a hissy fit today when he was given the news that he'd be either traded or demoted and went AWOL, but apparently he will be reporting tomorrow to AAA.
And all I have to say is, Tim, I keep every time I see problems with the Yasiel Puig getting demoted, blah, 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 I always think of that guy who busted our chops on that that post out on iTunes saying we didn't know what we were talking about. Tim, ha!
Yes, I say double ha. He who laughs last laughs best. And there was a problem. There was a problem right from the get go. And you know, hey, the guy might have all the talent in the world, but there are some issues there. And until he gets those issues ironed out, his ability to be a successful MLB player is very questionable at this stage.
I totally agree with you, Timmy, and that's why they're trying to move him, and it's tough. I mean, this is really tough for him, I'm assuming. Tim, the first question for you, and I don't know if this is an answer, but how many games does Rich Hill pitch the rest of the season?
I'll go 8.
I'm going to go under. I got the under, Tim. I mean, he's coming back from a blister. This is a guy that you and I have taught that. And clearly, he's learned a new pitch last year because, I mean, he was great in Boston. He was very good with the A's, but the guy cannot stay healthy. And it's a lot to give up for basically Rich Hill. That's the guy that they were really going after. I mean, Josh Reddick's okay, but, man, Tim, he might not pitch again. I mean, who knows?
Well, yeah, it's a real interesting situation because – you know, obviously the Dodgers, what this says to me, with the moves that they've made is that they're not anticipating Kershaw being back. They're trying to strengthen their rotation to make a push for the playoffs. I keep hearing people saying, well, you know, the A's did real well on this one. But I'd like your take. Did they pick up 3 relief pitchers in this deal, Rich?
Well, that's a very interesting, very, very interesting perspective. So let's go through those, Tim. Montas, I've seen him. I saw him in the Arizona Fall League. He's a big dude, throws really hard. He's got a very, very active swing. So, I mean, it's pretty all over the place. I think he's a bullpen arm. Jarrell Cotton's probably ultimately a swing guy, Tim. He's probably Mike Montgomery / the guy that got blown up yesterday, Mattis, Brian Mattis type of guy. He could pitch 2 or 3 innings, up and down, that type of thing. And Grant Holmes was the big catch here. But Timmy, 6'1", and you never know if he's really going to be a starter. I mean, look at Stroman. I mean, Stroman's okay. He's not great. I mean, Grant Holmes is probably a starter. Don't think he's a real elite guy, but he could very much be in the bullpen. So you're right. They might have gotten 3 bullpen arms.
Well, yeah, and I thought Rich Hill was valued by Billy Beane a lot more than that, or am I wrong in my estimations?
Well, clearly they think Grant Holmes is more than that, and, you know, who knows? Jarrell Cotton could be I know he's a righty, but he could be a Tommy Malone-ish kind of guy. It gets you, you know, 4 or 5 years of major league output before people realize he's not that good. I mean, there's some value there, but, I mean, Rich Hill, it's a two-month rental.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of Mattis, the Cubs DFA'd him today.
Yeah, poor guy. I just feel bad for him. They just got blown
after,
up.
You know, last night he gets called up. He gets a start Monday. Well, hey, nice knowing you, Brian.
I know it's a tough business. I mean, that's why these guys make a lot of money, and they have to bank it because this stuff happens all the time. But you know, it is interesting. I mean, I wish the Dodgers the best. I mean, I think Rich Hill's. I mean, clearly over the last year and a half has shown that guy can pitch. I just don't know how much he's going to pitch. And Josh Reddick is clearly an upgrade over over Yasiel Puig. Let's face it.
Well, yeah, definitely the Dodgers are not lying down. They're going to wind it up. They're going to go for it. Good for them.
Now, does that mean that let's take a look at the that outfield? So you got Jock Peterson in center. You got Reddick in right. So I'm assuming when Trace Thompson comes back, he goes to left, and Andre Ethier is kind of your fourth outfielder. Is that the way you read it?
That's the way I'm reading it. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So Reddick is, I guess, in an NL only, he's a guy that you'd be targeting, I'm assuming.
In an NL only, yeah, he's going to draw some hefty bids. There's no doubt about it.
So the Brewers, Timmy, made out like bandits. I'll try to do them all together, but the kind of a small deal that the Giants picked up Will Smith, the fame of all the movies and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, et cetera. For catcher Andrew Susak, a couple of years ago, was a top prospect, not so much anymore. And the number one prospect in their squad, at least according to Rich Wilson, Phil Bickford. So thought it was a pretty hefty price. He is a lefty. He's 3 years of team control. But, man, that seemed awfully hefty to get that. And this shows you, Tim, relief guys were expensive and going off the board all over the place. It was really the year of the relief pitcher.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I actually like the other part of this deal as well. You know, Susak's, what, 26, 27? LaCroix's now gone, right? Maldonado's not the answer. And if you look at Susak's numbers, eight homers, 38 RBIs at AAA, 347 OBP. I think with the move to Milwaukee, I think there's some life possibly in Andrew Susak.
I think that's a great point, Timmy. Because somewhere down here, I asked you who was playing catcher in Milwaukee, and did not connect the dots together. That's a great call.
Well, and you know what? I think he's demonstrated enough with the bat that he's going to get the opportunity. And we're talking about a catcher that, you know, could pop a few home runs down the stretch and has the potential to not hurt your batting average. So. He's definitely going to be waiver wire material for next weekend.
That's a great call. Great call, Timmy. Let's talk about the other trade there, a couple of other trades. I don't know how many they made. We'll have to go through these. The Rangers acquired Jonathan LaCroix and Jeremy Jeffries. Tim, I was really shocked at that from the Brewers for Lewis Brinson, outfielder Lewis Brinson, one of my guys, and Lewis Ortiz. And it is, you know, besides that, maybe Matt Moore, I think the biggest trade that was out there. And, wow, I mean, just a good trade by the Rangers. I think Jeremy Jeffries is a really nice pickup. And LaCroix is going to make Robinson Chirinos, expendable in fantasy leagues.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who else is in Texas. They are the number two. that's it. That's all. LaCroix is going to get the majority of the bats, as he should. And it's definitely a huge get for the Rangers. And they've got him for next year. And, you know, you look at the situation. Jeffers is a great pull. I think he's got potential. Everything I've read is he's going to slide into the setup role right out of the gate. But I can see him closing games in short order should there be any problems in Texas. Good deal for the Rangers.
And I think for fantasy owners, Tim, you got to like Jonathan LaCroix going to Texas.
Well, yeah, a much better destination than, say, San Francisco or, you know what I mean? He's going to a park where he can hit. He's going to a lineup that's going to afford him protection, something that he didn't have in Milwaukee. Yeah, it's a good situation all the way around.
So we've already talked about who you like in Milwaukee behind the plate, and you got Andrew Susak.
Yeah, I can't see any reason why the Brewers don't run him out there. Well, why wouldn't they? It's not a money situation. So I think I like Susak a lot more than Maldonado. That's for sure.
Looks like there is a no hitter currently going on by. Looks like the Royals and Rays. It's 0-0. I think it's Danny Duffy. Wow, Danny Duffy, 6 innings, no hits, 1 walk, 12 strikeouts. You think the Rays are mailing it home today, Timmy?
Well, yeah, but the Royals haven't put anything on the board either, so it's still knotted up at Zippo Zippo. So, yeah, all I know is I started Danny Salazar today, so I'm not real happy with what I saw there, Rich.
Boy, what's going on there? 8-3. Oh, Timmy, really? Wow.
Well, the only consolation. Yeah. The only consolation, Kepler's got 2 homers, Rosario's got 1. The only consolation, Rich, is I decided this week I'm going all in on double starts because I need to make up ground in tote. Well, I've had Salazar all year, so he was a given. I picked up Berrios yesterday. So if there's any consolation, Lord, one small favor, go 5 innings, Mr. Berrios, so at least I got a shot at the win.
Yeah, it looks like Timmy, he's 4 innings, 3 hits, 3 earned runs, and 3 strikeouts. So, yeah, it's hopefully he will go. That seemed like, I mean, come on, against the Twins on a Monday. I mean, who would have thought that Salazar lays an egg? But
he's been shaky lately.
His
last 4 or 5 starts haven't been real strong ones. So I'm beginning to think he might be wearing down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Timmy, so the closer in Milwaukee is?
I'm going to go with the guy off that TV series, the Thornbirds.
Yeah, I think that's Timmy, that you really reached. That was back in the 70s, I think. So, man, I think he just lost 3/4 of our audience.
Well, yeah, that was an old guy joke. Definitely, definitely an old guy pun. But, yeah, I think he's got to be the favorite. But I keep my eye on Corey Kennebel, or however you wish to pronounce his name. I was big on him a couple of years ago. Thought he might get a chance, and I wouldn't rule him out, but. You know, you're looking at a very short burst. You're looking at 2 months. How many saves, how many games is Milwaukee going to win? If I had a choice between the two, I'd probably spend the money on the guy that everybody else isn't chasing and hope he slides into the role.
Yeah, Thorbert's been good this year, though.
Yeah, he has been good, yeah.
Came up as a starter. I think it was a fairly high draft pick, if I recall, about – I want to say 2011. That was when he was. I'm going to go check that, but I'm pretty sure 2011 he was brought up. So he's still pretty young.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely the guy that I think you want to own initially. But I like that Corey Kay guy too. I think he's got some potential.
I got it wrong, Tim. Drafted in 2010.
Okay.
In the third round, so I did get it wrong, but he was well thought of. Only 5'11", 190 pounds, so again, a smallish guy. That's why he was moved out of the starting rotation. Again, the closer in Texas, you still got Sam Dyson, right? But I think Jeffries has made a real nice case for himself. So everybody, Tim, as we've learned, gone with multiple relievers. They're trying to lock down, a la the Kansas City Royals. Everybody follows the winner, and the Kansas City Royals proved that everybody else is doing it. So they locked down the 8th and 9th inning at least.
Well, yeah, they did. And, Diekman is there, as is Barnett. So the Rangers have got a pretty strong bullpen. But this whole model, I think if you go back and you look at the Giants on their even year wins, they always had strong bullpens as well. And I think what we're seeing as far as the bullpen activity is a product of the poor starting pitching. You know, if you can't get that right starting pitching, at least try and shore up your pen. And let's face it, how many big name starting pitchers were out there? How many of them moved? Chris Sale was a guy that we thought might move. A lot of people did, but teams holding those type of players, they're not letting them go for chump change. And if you can't get the right starters, you might as well build into it a strong bullpen, try and get these guys to go 5-6 innings, and then shut it down after that.
I mean, yeah, Kansas City and their 2 World Series run. Tim, by the way, they're 6 under .500. I had not heard of that until today. I mean, they didn't have great starting pitcher, but they locked down the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, and they asked the guys to get through 5 or 6 innings, and we'll take it the rest of the way, and it worked.
Well, yeah, exactly. And if you can get through 5 or 6 innings and you get the right bullpen pieces, as does Texas, San Francisco, you know, most of the teams that are in contention have strong bullpens. Cleveland, hey, what was their target? Let's improve that bullpen. And they did. And they had great starting pitching, and they still saw the need. So, I think your contenders definitely loaded up in that area. Even, hey, the Cubs with Chapman and Joe Smith, another pickup today, loaded themselves up in the one area that they were perceived to have a weakness.
Totally agree with you. Let's talk prospects for a moment, Tim. I love Lewis Brinson. An outstanding center fielder, has plus home run power. This is a guy that potentially could get you 25 home runs and steal 20 to 25 bases. The problem is, I mean, he is uber uber aggressive at the plate. So he never walks, and he was strikeout prone early in his career. He's really cut down on that. It's, you know, as soon as he can start to get on base more, because his batting average is like .230 this year, he really took a step back. I think he's going to be a great baseball player, but the Milwaukee Brewers, Tim, it's not even close now. They have the best minor league system, bar none. I mean, they've got, from top to bottom, a very, very deep system. Just in their outfield, I listed it here. I mean, Lewis Brinson is at the top of the pile, but you got Brett Phillips, got Corey Ray, who was their number one draft pick this year, really good. Trent Clark, number one draft pick the year before that. Monte Harris, the number one draft pick before that. These guys in the outfield that are in their top 10. So, and of course, they got Keon Broxton sitting out there, your buddy. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent sitting there that, you know, Lewis Brinson's going to be brought along pretty slowly for that. Luis Ortiz, Tim, is a nice pitcher. I think really becomes an interesting asset in a dynasty league now that he's out of Texas. Guy, I think, was number 4 overall last year. So somebody that people should be watching even more closely now.
Well, you know, and you look at the combination of that pickup in conjunction with Bickford, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, you know, a couple guys that have potential. Milwaukee did a really, really good job. If you're looking to say 2018, how does that sound? By 2018, the Brewers could have themselves a team that could be contending, right?
I'm going to go 2019 to 2020, Tim. I think it's going to take them a little longer because some of these guys, I mean, Phillips and Brinson and all those guys, they might see a little bit of playing time in 2017, but it's going to be 18, 19 before they figure out who's really going to be a player, who's not going to be a player, which of their pitchers are going to work out and so forth. But, I mean, they're following, like, you know, we talked about imitation as the greatest form of flattery. Everybody imitating Kansas City. Now everybody's imitating the Astros and the Cubs, and the Brewers are doing it. Now the question will be, can they keep their fan base over the next couple of years as they're rebuilding? And I think Ryan Braun helps them, and I think they won't move him, Tim, partially because they need that face of the franchise. They need somebody there that, you know, is still a star, and I think that's why they keep him.
Well, yeah, and it'll be interesting to see. Like, Domingo Santana, I really had high hopes for him. He's another player that hopefully will at some point in time be healthy. But I agree with you on Braun. They got to have a couple names in that lineup that are going to attract people. And the only consolation, I guess, is there is no football team.
There is no – well, the Green Bay Packers, Tim. So they root for the Green Bay. I think used to be in the day the Packers played one game in Milwaukee a year. I don't know if that's still the case.
No, I don't believe it is, but I don't follow football all that closely. I mean, maybe they do, but I – yeah, you're right. Everybody in Wisconsin is a cheesehead.
Yeah, there you go. Kirk Nieuwenhuis playing center field now, so I think Lewis Brinson will eventually be able to pass him up in the ranks. At least you hope so, Timmy. So let's go back and let's see. I think that was it with the Brewers, right? They didn't move anybody else, did they?
Not that I'm aware of, but they sure built one heck of a farm system, didn't they?
The Rangers acquired the Carlos Beltran, going back to the Rangers from the Yankee, for minor leaguer Dylan Tate. Now, it's a nice return for Beltran. You know, he's not pitched all that great this year, had a little bit of a hammy pull, but I think a nice little pull for the Yankees, whether they'll be able to pitch in Yankee Stadium or not, time will tell. But Tim, I think the question becomes in the outfield or just the overall lineup, who's in the outfield with Texas? You know, Desmond's playing center field. Beltran's going to play right, I think. Who's going to play left? That's a question for you. Chu is out, but once he comes back, is it Chu? Is it Mazzara? Does Mazzara play right? Does Beltran play a little first? Does your boy Mitch Moreland, who you had at the top of your waiver wire pickup, does he finally lose playing time? Does he play DH? Does Beltran? Tim, explain this to me. Where does Beltran play?
In Texas.
Okay.
Well, right now, you know, at first base, they sent Gallo down, okay? So Gallo's out of the equation. Okay, so you're looking at Mitch Moreland, a combination of Mitch Moreland and Beltran I think, at first base, with Beltran right now getting a good chunk of it at bats in the outfield until Chu returns. Once Chu returns, I think you'll see Beltran playing at one of three positions, and they'll do everything to keep his bat in the lineup. As we mentioned yesterday, Mitch Moreland will cool off, and when he does cool off, there will be an opportunity. The big loser as far as playing time is concerned will in all likelihood be a combination of Delino DeShields and Ryan Rue.
Oh, your buddy Ryan Rue, Tim. Well, Delino DeShields is a fourth outfielder, so that's eventually where he should kind of slot in. So I think that's probably a pretty good move there. Beltran still has a lot left in the tank, and, again, a good pull by the Yankees. Again, two-month rental. They strategically move guys, Tim, and I got. We're gonna talk about my summary at the end, and I love your thoughts. But boy, the Yankees did really, really well there, and I think that Carlos Beltran is a nice pull by the Rangers. So I guess my question for you is: did the Rangers do enough? I mean, they didn't really get that top of the rotation guy they really needed.
So what you're saying is that Chi-Chi as a fifth starter might not get it done, Rich?
Well, that's a lot of pressure on Yu Darvish coming back from Tommy John surgery, and he hasn't pitched a lot this year. Cole Hamels, I think you can count on him. But who do you got after that, Tim?
Well, what you got is you got Cole Hamels pitching 8 innings in every outing to give the bullpen a rest. You got Darvish skipping probably one, maybe two starts down the stretch, and they're only going to go 5 innings. They're going to pray that they get 5 innings out of Perez, A.J. Griffin, Lucas Harrell, whoever. And what they do have now is they have Dyson Jeffress, Matt Bush, Jake Diekman, Keon Kella, and Tony Barnett in the bullpen. And I can see these guys getting worked to death over the next 2 months. They're going to need to have 3-4. They've got 6 relief pitchers. They're going to need 3 or 4 on any night that Cole Hamels isn't pitching. And if they can make that work, yeah, they're in good shape. If that bullpen stumbles, they're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, if they got Keon Kela still sitting, that guy throws 100 miles an hour. So hopefully they'll get Colby Lewis back soon, Tim. And he was very, very good, as you know, because I know you had him in DL2 and were pretty impressed with the results there. So that would help them eat innings. And Martin Perez, you traded him in DL2 as well. Tim, he stinks. I mean, he's a number 4 starter, and I'm really disappointed because I thought he'd be more than that. But he just never came back well from Tommy John surgery. So I still think you might see them add a starter because you can add players in August. They just have to go through waiver wires.
Well, yeah, exactly. Lewis is due back at the end of August is what I'm reading. And, you know, definitely he will help. As far as that trade's concerned, I got Asdrubal Cabrera from you, and he hasn't been healthy for 15 minutes. So I'm calling that one a draw. That's
I agree with
trade.
You. Timmy, let's move on. So the Mets tried to duplicate last year's, trade that really pushed them over the top, and that was Yoenis Cespedes. This year they get Jay Bruce from the Reds for, again, one of my guys, Dilson Herrera, and some dude left-hander named Max Wotel. I think it's a good pickup for the Mets. Tell me what that outfield looks like now, though.
Defensively or offensively?
Defensively, I can answer that question. Terrible.
Yeah, brutal. But Mets pitchers better keep the ball on the ground. It's going to be probably, once he's healthy, Cespedes, Bruce, Granderson.
Granderson in center field. Timmy Granderson had been a center fielder for 3 or 4 years and wasn't a very good center fielder back. I guess he was when he was with the Tigers and back in the Tiger days, he was pretty good. But, man, once he was a Yankee, he was not a very good center fielder.
No, defensively, the word challenged is going to enter into the equation.
Yeah, that's tough. Conforto now, Tim, unownable?
I wouldn't say unownable. I'd keep him around, but I would, I think as long as Cespedes, Granderson, and Bruce are wheeled out on a day-to-day basis, he's your fourth outfielder. The only thing, you're looking at right now, Cespedes is dealing with a quad injury. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, Granderson's no spring chicken. You know, I would keep him kicking around because I think there's the opportunity for at-bats out of Conforto, just not full-time at-bats. And should there be an injury, any extended lost time, then he slides in.
So you got Adam Duvall carrying left field. You got Billy Hamilton in center field. Right field, Tim. I mean, Yorman Rodriguez, I'm looking at Roto World. He ain't going to be a right fielder. I mean, what about Jesse Winker? Could he kind of finally see some time up in the major leagues? Could Dilson Herrera move to the outfield and maybe they move Adam Duvall to right field and put Dilson Herrera in left field? And what do you think happens there in Cincinnati?
Well, I think what happens is you'll end up with a guy with second base eligibility playing in the outfield, and that's Jose Peraza. I don't think Winker's really struggled this year. Have you checked out his numbers lately, Rich? I think he's got like four home runs.
Yeah, well, he never thought he would have a whole lot of power, but the guy can still hit.
Yeah, he can still hit, but I think they'll just I think they'll sit with Jose Peraza for now. And run him out there, bring Winker up in September, but I don't think there's any immediate rush to get him up there. I think they'd like to see a little bit more out of him, and for now, I'd be rolling the dice on Peraza.
So Dilson Herrera blocked again.
Well, yeah, I think Phillips has got 1 year left. Eventually, they'll move him somewhere. So I don't think it's a situation where he's going to be blocked forever and ever. The Reds got to do something. They got to get Phillips out of there.
It was hard to find guys. Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. I thought you were done.
No, go ahead.
It was hard for me to find guys to talk to today because everybody was busy evaluating talent. But I finally called a couple of guys, texted a couple of guys that I know, Tim, and said, tell me about Max Wotell. And obviously lefty. People who saw him said he's got a really good arm. He's only 19 in the Appy League. And somebody told me it's a Mets pitcher. Never discount him. So, and I think that's pretty good advice. So for Dynasty League owners, just etch the name Wotell down and let's watch him over the next couple of years. I'll get some intel on him, Tim, as we go forward here.
Sounds good.
Let's talk about the Pirates, Tim. First of all, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to read this and I want you to comment. I'm not going to make a comment because I don't understand it. The Mets acquired John Neese from the Pirates for Antonio Bastardo.
Okay. And
that's what I wrote. I don't even know. I don't even understand this. And why are the Mets reacquiring Jonathan Neese? Why are the Pirates reacquiring Antonio Bastardo? I don't even understand that.
I'm lost. I really don't have any answers to that question. Unless the Pirates figure they can use Bastardo. I don't know. Bastardo has more value to him than Neese, but they got all, you know, they got Glasnow and Taillon. You would think they would want to keep an innings eater handy just to protect those investments, wouldn't you?
Well, this is what they do, Timmy. Well, the Pirates acquired Drew Hutchison from the Jays for left-handed pitcher Francisco Liriano, minor leaguer, first-round draft pick from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, Reese McGuire, nice defensive catcher. And one of my guys, again, minor leaguer Harold Ramirez, who I like a lot, Tim. And this is Drew Hutchison. He's had a nice little season, but he just wore out his welcome in Toronto. And I think he's going to be better going anywhere besides Toronto. So clearly the Pirates and that pitching staff and the leadership there think they can do something with Drew Hutchison to make him the pitcher that he is. So that's why I wrote, in my notes going, is there something there that a smart fantasy owner would be jumping all over Drew Hutchison?
I think there's an opportunity now for Hutchison. Whether or not Searidge can make it work, only time will tell. But definitely, I think there's an opportunity. And I love what the Jays did. I like Reese McGuire. Okay, you know, he's young. He's only 22. By the, you know, you're looking at a couple more years. I think 2-3 years on Martin's contract, and then McGuire slides into the job, assuming that he progresses. the Jays did really, really well, I think, by that deal. And, you know, it cost them some money with Liriano, but I like the deal for both sides. Unfortunately, it's not going to make, I don't think, it's not going to put the Pirates over the top, but it does give the Jays some nice young talent, and Hutchison could work out for Pittsburgh.
And Harold Ramirez can really play, Timmy. The power hasn't showed up yet. It eventually will. He's got some speed. He's only got 7 stolen bases this year. I mean, the speed is not going to be there. But this is a guy that's going to have 15 to 20 home run power and can hit. I mean, he's got a lifetime 304 batting average, an on-base percentage of 362. I mean, this is a guy that can really play. So I'm with you. I really liked it. But I think Drew Hutchison, and then their other kind of sneaky little pickup was Ivan Nova. So clearly Sirich thinks that he could do something with Nova. So maybe out of the two of them, Hutchison and Nova, one guy comes up. But, Tim, it's not going to help their team. They still didn't make that big move.
No. The window of opportunity on that big move, Rich, it closed last year. And I don't know how many times I've reiterated the fact that, you know, they had a chance. They could have had David Price for 2 playoff runs, and they passed up the opportunity. Now they're in a situation where they've got Taillon, they've got Glasnow up. They got John Jaso at first base. Come on,
yeah, but
Josh
Glasnow, first off, Glasnow was hurt, Tim. So that's
yeah,
that's what happens with a lot of these guys. You just said John Jaso at first base. Last time I looked, it was 4 home runs. And Josh Bell, Tim, 2 for 2. With an OPS of 1,100. Again, I get it. It was only 2 at-bats. But come on, the guy gets demoted after hitting a grand slam. I mean, how can you do that?
Well, yeah, you can't do it as far as I'm concerned. The problem is there was an opportunity over the past couple years heading into last year's playoffs would have been the big opportunity. When Pittsburgh was looking, per se, at a potential playoff run last year, these kids weren't at the stage they are now. They're now at the stage where they're locked into keeping a lot of these kids, I think, as it's their future. But a year ago, they could have moved a Josh Bell. They could have moved Alan Hansen. They could have moved one of their starting pitchers. And, you know, to get the pieces they needed to put them over the hump. And, you know, hey, congratulations. You made the wild card 2 years in a row. Now, if that's what it's all about, hey, pat on the back. But as far as I'm concerned, that's not really the big prize. The big prize is getting the World Series and winning it. And they haven't shown that they're willing to do what it takes to get to the big prize.
Totally agree with you, Timmy. We've got 2 more trades to go through. I'm going to do this one because it's quick, and then we'll get into the Matt Moore trade. But look, you're way smarter than me. I'm man enough to say that. But I have no idea why this trade was made. I'm hoping you can shed some light, Tim, because I truly want to be enlightened. The Twins acquire Hector Santiago from the Angels for Ricky Nolasco and Alex Myers. Now, it's even hard to say those words without laughing, Tim. We got 3 lousy pitchers here switching. I mean, did the Angels just need 2 arms and that's why they got them? 2 arms are better than 1? I don't even understand this.
Well, I had to laugh. I read a review on a site that said, yeah, maybe Alex Myers will now get the opportunity to fulfill his sky-high potential or something along those lines, and I just about choked when I read it. I think what it is, it's a case that, hey, it's time for Nolasco to leave Minnesota. Myers isn't going anywhere. And I think on the Angels side of things, they just want to prove to their fans that somebody in the front office is awake. And that's why they did the deal.
It's very, very funny. That's as good as I can come up with. I mean, it's just, I guess Hector Santiago is better than Nolasco and Myers, I think. So I guess the Twins made out a little bit, but I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, they moved Nolasco. And I think that's a plus right there, because I believe he had another year or 2 years on his contract, 1 year plus an option year. So, you know, I guess that's selling high. Santiago, I think, has another – I think he's arbitration eligible next year. Personally, from the Twins – I like the Twins side of the deal myself.
I do too.
I think there's upside potential and there's some opportunity there. And hopefully – it also means that Berrios is in the full-time rotation the balance of the year.
I would think so, Timmy. I got to tell you, though, I almost wrote that trying to figure – I guess I should have said, please explain this to me if I'm an Angels fan. Because, I mean, this is a team that's no good, and they just made themselves worse. I mean, Ricky Nolasco – I'd rather much rather have Hector Santiago than Ricky Nolasco. And I guess Alex Myers is the – is the wild card here? Maybe they see they can get 6'7". Maybe he's a big guy, throws hard. Maybe they can sort out his delivery and get him to throw strikes. I mean, that's all I can figure.
Well, yeah, I really don't think the thought of having to face Nolasco and Weaver on back-to-back days is going to instill a lot of fear in the hearts of men.
It really isn't. Timmy, let's get to the last one, and it's one of the bigger ones. And the Giants, and Timmy, I wish we could read that, you know, our bet that we, the $20 bet or $10 bet we made in Vegas that has been rubbed out from sitting in my wallet for a month. But the Giants acquire Matt Moore from the Rays for Matt Duffy, minor league shortstop Lucius Fox, and minor league first baseman Chris Shaw. Now, Moore's been on a roll, Tim. He goes to a great park in a much better division. I mean, how can you not like this for Matt Moore owners?
You got to love it. There's a big uptick, I think, with the move to San Francisco. And by moving Duffy, it takes all questions out of the equation as far as where is Nunez going to play. It's third base. That's where he's at.
It was, I mean, those two trades, Tim, back-to-back. And that's why the Giants win all the time. Who would have thought that they had enough to get Matt Moore and Matt Duffy? I mean, granted, Tim, he was second in the league in Rookie of the Year, but come on, I mean, this is Matt Duffy. He's not that good.
Well, no, Matt Duffy will steal more bases than he will hit home runs. He's not a power hitter. He hit some home runs last year, great, but. You know, I like the move. The Giants came
the move,
out of
the move for the Giants, all right?
Well, yeah, the Giants came out of this with Matt with Moore, Will Smith strengthening up their bullpen again, and Nunez. And granted, they gutted their farm system, but how much of a farm system did they have in the first place, really?
I know, you begin to question what the heck are the Tampa Bay Rays doing. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I like Lucius Fox. He's okay. I mean, he's way young. Chris Shaw is very young, and Matt Duffy. I mean, I know that San Francisco is paying for the entire contract to Matt Moore, but he was under one of those very, very friendly team contracts. I think it's a terrible deal for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Well, yeah, and let's face it, Duffy is not going to supplant Evan Longoria at third base. That ain't going to happen. So now what you've got is you've got a James Loney-esque first baseman.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's basically what you've got is, you know, they had James Loney a few years ago, and now they've replaced him in the form of Matt Duffy.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Duffy had 12 home runs last year, but he's probably more like an 8 to 10 home run guy. And, I mean, doesn't have a lot of power. It makes no sense to me. And you're right, he's got 12 stolen bases last year, 8 this year. So, yeah, so you're talking an 8 to 10 home run guy and a 12 to 15 stolen base guy, if you're lucky, batting .250. That's a second division. That's a second division starter at best. It's probably a bench guy.
Yeah, isn't that just like a Tampa Bay Rays first baseman, though?
I know. It's like, Tim, they can't get, like, a really good player. As much as I like Steven Sousa, it's not happening with him. So they could have had Trey Turner and Joe Ross, but yet they got Steven Sousa. They had Matt Moore, and they got Matt Duffy and a couple of guys that are 3-4 years away, given how slow people develop in the Tampa Bay Ray organization. And Lucius Fox might not make it. I mean, he's definitely a gamble there. He's a lottery pick. So I don't get it.
No, I don't either. And then they moved Brandon Guyer to Cleveland, which was a sneaky little move, I think, on the Indians' part, because having that extra outfield bat, especially somebody who can pound the ball against southpaws, that's not going to hurt them.
Yeah, and a couple other just minor things. Obviously, you talked about Joe Smith being moved from the Angels for Jesus Castillo. The Cubs got a really good team and a really good bullpen. And the Orioles acquired Steve Pierce from Tampa Bay for minor league catcher Jonah Heim. I don't know anything about him, so Timmy, I'd have to research that. And, yeah, it's a nice pickup by the Orioles. Steve Pierce can play all over the place, first base in the outfield, and is a nice guy that'll get, you know, maybe a start or two a week. That's the perfect guy that you want on your team. Good bench player.
Yeah. Well, yeah, one of these days I want to track Steven Pierce's team ownership, because Baltimore has owned him at least twice now. I'm wondering if there's even three in there. Obviously, they like what Steven Pierce will bring to them, but he's been all over the place, hasn't he?
He has. Now, Tim, obviously, we've got a couple of Yankees now are thinking about calling up all their kids. Gary Sanchez expected to come up this week. We might see Aaron Judge finally this week as Carlos Beltran has been moved out. It looks like it's the end of the road for A-Rod. So some interesting things happening on the Yankees club. So lots of fallout, Tim. We'll know more come next week. But we've tried to give everybody just our analysis of what happened with all these trades, who to pick up, maybe some playing time here and there. But the fact is, we're still in the fog of war. We're still trying to sort it out. You were emailing me today saying you missed out on Tyler Thornburg. You were in the process of adding him when somebody added him. So, I mean, it's that stuff that's going on. So he's definitely a logical add, at least, to get a handful of saves for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Sanchez, big move there. It looks like McCann is going to be playing he's going to be doing some DHing, and they're going to get Sanchez up, and he's going to be a huge grab. I was a little disappointed. I was expecting San Diego to move a couple of players. Derek Norris, for one. It really surprised me that he's still in San Diego with Austin Hedges playing as well as he has been. That was a big surprise to me. Did you have any big surprises that didn't happen?
Well, I think Derek Norris gets moved, and I think those little guys get moved in August. I was surprised that a Chris Archer didn't get moved or a Chris Sale didn't get moved. I mean, yeah, those are the two guys, particularly with all the stuff that went over Chris Sale. But I'm wondering, Tim, if Chris Sale is starting to maybe he's a little bit past his peak, because if you've taken a look over the last year and a half, he's not been the same pitcher.
No, I think it was just simply a case that whoever had the starting pitchers that were coveted, they set the bar very high, and nobody was willing to pay that high price. So as a result, what happened is we saw the mad dash for relief pitchers. When you don't get A, there's got to be a B that spins off as a result of it. And with the pitching not being available, and I think teams holding the pitchers that could be moved to a very, very incredibly high price, everybody said, okay, fine. Keep Chris Sale. Keep Archer. We'll build our bullpens, and we'll go to plan B, and I think that's what happened.
But the Red Sox needed Chris Sale. That's who they needed, Timmy. I mean, let's face it, David Price is not a good pitcher in Boston. I don't know what – I mean, the strikeouts are still there. The walks are there. He's giving up too many home runs, getting too many guys on base. You can talk about batting average of balls to play all you want. It's not been good this year. Steven Wright, a knuckleballer, is the best pitcher up there. They needed another guy. Chris Sale, I would have – to me, with a team that good, I would have put it all on and just tried to do it. And Dombrowski didn't. I was surprised at that.
Well, yeah, this is probably the only time in his life as a major league executive where he's had a good farm system after the trade deadline.
Yeah, I know. It's true. That's because it was so darn deep to start off with. He's still got Mancada and Andrew Benintendi. So those are two really good chips, and one of them could have brought you Chris Sale and thrown some other guys in there.
Well, yeah, it's and when you talk about Boston's pitching Steven Wright has come back down to earth pretty solidly in his past three starts. They're starting to square him up. They're starting to hit him. And if Wright stumbles at all, that team's got trouble.
Yeah, it's the humidity, Tim. It's flattening out the knuckleball. So once it gets a little cooler, I think you'll start to see it dancing a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, so I was surprised that, big pitcher didn't get moved. And I was surprised that the Red Sox sat on their hands. The Tigers sat on their hands and didn't do anything. They clearly don't think they have enough to get over the top. So, but let me ask you a couple questions as we wrap up here. Texas made themselves a lot better, Timmy. LaCroix, Jeffries, Beltran. My question to you, is it enough to hold off the Astros, who, by the way, Joe Musgrove got called up today? I think he's going to be working out of the bullpen. But do they have enough to hold off the Astros?
I think they do, based on the strength of that bullpen. That is a deep, strong, very, very good bullpen. And I think if they can coax 4 and 5 innings out of some of these starters and then turn the ball over to that pen, I think they'll be okay. But any struggles out of that bullpen, and they're definitely in trouble. I don't think Houston, you know, we saw Keuchel on the weekend after a few good starts. Looked like he was turning it around, and then he gets absolutely tattooed. For Houston to compete, they've got to get Keuchel on the right track. If to win that division, he's got to pitch like the pitcher he was last year. And we haven't seen it yet, and I don't know if we are.
Yeah, it's. I don't think we are, Timmy. That's what's tough. I'm afraid. I mean, there was such a fine line between Dallas Keuchel being a Cy Young Award winner and Dallas Keuchel being a 5 ERA, which is the guy he was 3 years ago. He is a command first guy, and if he's not commanding the fastball, if he's not commanding his curveball, he's incredibly hittable, Timmy, because he throws 89 miles an hour.
Well, yeah, if Houston is going to make that run, they're going to need to have a guy like Lance McCullers go 8-0 down the stretch with about a 150 ERA. How's that?
Yes, I'm a little surprised that the Astros didn't make a move. They could have really used another pitcher, but, you know, they decided to sit on their hands as well. Good news, Timmy, Berrios, 6 innings pitched tonight, so they're now winning 10-3, so you might get the win there.
Well, that's sort of nice. It'll ease the burden of those 6 earned runs in 2 innings. You know, the other thing that sort of surprised me, and I didn't hear a whole lot about it, but Philadelphia had a couple chips that I thought, you know, Jeremy Hellickson. And Genmar Gomez, that I don't think are going to be part and parcel of future plans. They're still holding on to them. You know, the only thing I can assume there is the asking price was simply too high.
Yep, I agree. I think Genmar Gomez is a guy that gets moved. Jeremy Hellickson, I don't know. Maybe he goes. He's not that good, Tim. I mean, it's Jeremy Hellickson, and his agent is Scott Boras. And what somebody told me today is that Scott Boras will convince Jeremy Hellickson that he's the best right-handed guy out of the. You know, on the free agent list, and he might be next year because there's not many guys out there, and to not accept a $17 million qualifying offer, and therefore Philadelphia will pick up an extra draft pick. That's the logic going around the ether, that the reason he didn't get moved, whether you believe it or not.
You know, if I was Jeremy Hellickson, if I was his father, I'd be saying, Jeremy, young fella, we got to sit down and talk here. If they offer you $17 million, you take that money and you run. You don't walk, you run to the bank and enjoy every opportunity that it provides for you. Because are we going to see 2 years like this in a row at a Hellickson? I'm not betting on it.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm having similar conversations with my son, you know, not this realm, Timmy, but as he's going through his NBA program, I mean, he will be offered jobs at very elite companies because he's going to one of the best colleges in the world, Columbia, and he gets to go back to his employer, who his employer will pay for him to go to school. They will reimburse him for his schooling, which means they'll reimburse mom and dad. And guess who mom and dad is? Tim, yours truly. So I said. Now, I said, if Facebook and Google come along and say, hey, Matt Wilson, we want you to work for us, then by all means, Dad will fund this. But if, yeah, I don't know, some similar firm comes along, I mean, dude, take the money. go back to where you came from, my friend. Don't do something stupid. It's the same kind of thing. That follow the advice has got to be, dude, you're a good pitcher. You're not going to get a big contract. You're just not.
Well, no. they'll pay the money to bullpen arms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Plus, there's still there's still a few years away. Timmy, I'm going to give you one line.
Okay.
Mad Bum, Cueto, Moore, Samardzija. That's a World Series rotation right there. Right?
Yeah, my response would be one for the baby finger. How's that?
Yep.
They got the other three fingers covered.
They got to get past the Cubs, and they got to get past the Nationals. It's funny because the National League is the have and have nots. There's some really, really good teams and some pathetic teams. But the Giants are really, really good.
Well, yeah, definitely heading into the dog days of summer, I think there's three teams in the NL that are better than the best of what is in the AL. And I would be very, very shocked, barring injury, if the World Series doesn't end up in an NL park.
Yeah, Cleveland's a really good team, though, Timmy. They did some nice things, not yesterday, but they're today. They did some nice things before that. Tim, I got the Pirate fans should be really, really, really mad.
They should have been really mad about 3 years ago. They should be into disgust now. How's that?
I agree. I mean, they should just they should not show up. I mean, it's clear to me that the Pirates just don't have the courage to do it right, and they're going to be a good team. They'll never be a great team. And the final comment to me is, I get the Yankees did really, really well, and I know there's a lot of Yankee haters out there, but well done, New York Yankees. I mean, they really restocked that farm system, as the Brewers did, but that Yankee system was in bad shape. It's in pretty good shape, and they gave away guys besides Miller, who Tim had two-month rentals, and that's pretty darn good for what they got back.
Yeah, it's a whole new world in New York, isn't it? You know, a farm system, some great potential young talent coming up. I'm really looking forward to seeing Sanchez.
Yep.
I think Aaron Judge, once he gets back from the knee injury, I think we'll see Judge up. It's going to be a really exciting time, I think, for fans in New York, assuming that they can have a little bit of patience. And if they can have that patience, you know, once Tex and A-Rod are off the books, that gives them some money. It's a nice deal in New York. I really like what they've done. Kudos.
2018 is their year, Timmy. Next year is going to be a tough year again, but 2018, when all those free agents are available, the money's off the book, they got some really nice young players, and they'll get some more nice young players in the offseason and next year. They're going to come back. And the nice thing is, Tim, they're not going to be horrible. They'll be competitive enough that it's not an embarrassment. And I think Brian Cashman, we wanted to see if he could rebuild a team. And so far, at least this year, he did really good.
Yeah, he did. And what's with Boston? What's Boston going to do with all these wonderful prospects? Man, they got a loaded farm system, and it's still sitting there loaded. I don't know. I sort of thought they'd try and give it a bit more of a go, being big poppies last year. But I guess they're gonna sit back and develop these kids. And I'm hoping to see Benintendi sometime in the next month.
They have no pitching, Timmy. Tell me who their pitchers in the minor leagues are. They had Anderson Espinosa. Tell me a pitcher that they got that's going to come up and help them. They don't. I can tell you right now, they don't have anybody that can come up and help them. That's their Achilles heel.
Well, yeah, at some point in time, they might have to pay for it, and they might have to pay for it with their young bats, something they obviously weren't prepared to do now. But Henry Owens isn't the future? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, Henry Owens is a number four guy. I mean, he's okay. He's not going to bring a championship to that club, Tim. And I know they did the right thing by bringing in David Price. It just hasn't worked yet, and maybe it will after the season, but so far it hasn't worked.
Yeah, they needed David Price this year. It was funny. There was a post on the Facebook page, talking about disappointing pitchers. And for me, the big three this year have to be David Price, Keuchel, and Archer. All three of those pitchers have not performed to the level that we're accustomed to them performing. And it's made a really huge impact both on their teams and on fantasy teams. I drafted Keuchel as my ace in two leagues. Guess where I'm at?
I know it's bad, Tim. I know. I got him in one of my leagues, and I fought back to finally get an under 1.3 whip, and I can't even believe. Tells you how good my other pitchers are in Dallas Keuchel and frickin' Patrick Corbin. I've just relished him to the bench. I don't want to drop him yet. I do because it's a 15-team league. I desperately want to drop him, Timmy, but that's the wrong thing to do, and I'm trying to grow up here. But I desperately want to just kick him to the curb and just, like, dare anybody to pick him up. But he's – those two guys destroyed my pitching staff.
Well, yeah. In one of my leagues, I'm sporting right now a 4.52 ERA and a 1.47 whip.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I feel your pain. I was 6 weeks ago. I was at a 5 ERA and a 1.50 WHIP, and I've gotten it down to a 4.2 ERA and a 1.3 WHIP. I'm very happy. But just going back to the Red Sox, just so everybody knows that I do follow the prospects. I went out to my site just to make sure. Jason Groom, who left-hander, just got drafted by the Red Sox. He's 3 to 4 years away. He's an arm. And Michael Kopech, the guy hit 105 on two guns. Timmy, right-hander, has had a little bit of a checkered pass with some indiscretions in terms of marijuana use and so forth, can really, really bring it. But there's very few guys, Tim, that can throw 105 miles an hour, not named Noah Syndergaard. So he might be destined to the bullpen. But those are – Kopech is, I think, in high A. So he's maybe a couple years away. So there's somebody – there's somebody there who might be there in a couple of years. But other than that, I mean, they don't have anybody on the precipice coming up.
Well, yeah, they gave up on Pat Light, eh? They moved him to Minnesota for a bad, eh?
Pat Light, yeah, that's great. Timmy, this has been fun, man. I wanted to keep it to about an hour. We're in exactly an hour. And do you have any final comments before we say sayonara here?
No, other than the fact that to everybody listening, pay really, really close attention over the next 4 to 5 days because we're going to get a clear definition on some of the roster spots that are currently open or there are questions about. We're going to get some definition, and there are going to be some very, very interesting moves to be made next week on the waiver wire. So don't just because the trading deadline has come and gone, this week, the balance of the week, is incredibly important in your future plans. Pay attention, folks.
Totally agree with you, Timmy. Great. It's been fun. Thanks so much for taking time out of your holiday day and joining me for this show, Timmy. Really appreciate it.
It was a blast, Rich. Anytime, and looking forward to hopefully figuring out over the balance of the week what these teams are going to be looking like heading into next week, and we can, I'm sure it'll be an interesting discussion Sunday. Thanks again, Rich. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, be well, Timmy.
Be well.